You're listening to the Cornerstone Word of Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this teaching from Pastor Mark. For more information on our church, please visit cwol.org.
Well, it's a good day. Hallelujah. Are you excited? I'm excited too, because guess what? We're going to continue to find out your identity. We're going to continue to figure out who you are. Do you know who you are? Do you know who you are? It seems to me that God is very concerned with you in this hour that we live in, that you know who you are, that you know your identity. So we've been talking about that. We've been talking about your identity, the soldier, the farmer, the athlete. One of the things is God's not asking you to take a personality test. You ever taken one of those? Find out who you are. He's not asking you to take a personality test. What he's wanting you to see is there are three different things here. There's a soldier, there's an athlete, and the farmer. And what he needs you to be is all three. What he needs you to be is all three. So we looked at the soldier. Do I got any good soldiers in this room? I said, what's a good soldier? One who knows how to fight. Do you know how to fight? Paul said, I have fought a good fight. Everybody say, I have fought a good fight. What's a good fight? Well, then you win. Do I got any winners in the room? Does he always cause you to triumph? Yes. Hallelujah. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even my faith. Amen? Yes. Glory to God. Somebody say, I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I was reading after someone who was trying to correct everybody's theology, and they said this minister, I think he had some initials after his name, he said, that doesn't mean what all those charismatics and Pentecostals think it means. He said, it doesn't mean that God's going to help you in every situation. It doesn't mean he's going to strengthen you in every situation to win. And to that I say, baloney. It means exactly what it says it means. It means that you can always win. He always causes you to triumph. He's given you weapons that always win. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He has arrayed you with the finest and the best, and you always win. Come on. It's not over till you win, good soldier. And you got to learn how to fight. Amen. I thought it's already done. Jesus did, but you still have to fight. You have an enemy, and you need to be arrayed in all of your equipment, and you need to speak the word, use the sword of the Spirit, use the shield of faith, have the helmet of salvation on, and just get going after it. Amen? And you always win. I don't know if you're all convinced yet. Turn to your neighbor and say, I told you, you always win. And then the athlete. What about this athlete? Well, this athlete is going for a crown. This athlete is going for the victory again. He's going for the victory again. What does he got to do? He's got to keep his body under. For an athlete, in order to be successful, it's more about when no one's watching than when everyone is watching. A good athlete is doing things when no one is watching, when no coach is telling them to do something, when the stadiums are not full. It's what you do when no one's watching that more causes a victory than when everyone's watching. And so we have to learn to keep our body under. What's the objective? I want to get a crown. Why do we want a crown? So we can lay it at Jesus' feet. Amen. And so today, though, we're going to talk about the farmer. Now, around here at Cornerstone, whether you know it or not, we talk about the farmer the most of all a lot. Because this has to do with, remember the Apostle Paul said this, I have fought the good fight. What is that? The soldier. I have finished my course. What's that? The athlete. I have kept the faith. What is that? The farmer. And so we're going to look now at the farmer. Now, let's go back to 2 Timothy. Let's go to 2 Timothy, and we're going to pick up here. Y'all ready to talk farming today? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. If any man also strive for the masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman, the farmer, that labors must be first partakers of the fruits. So we're going to talk about farming, but we're going to talk about some things. Number one, a farmer is hardworking. Did any of you, I don't know how many of you, that any of your relatives or maybe you yourself at one time was a farmer? Do I got any former farmers in here? I come from a family of farmers. My papaw, that means my grandfather, but he was papaw. Papaw was a farmer. On my mom's side, all my three or four of my uncles were farmers. On my dad's side, both of my uncles were farmers. And my dad was what we called a hobby farmer. In other words, we had, I think, 10 acres, and he did 7.5 of it, and we had cows and pigs and chickens, and I was delivered, glory to God, hallelujah. This boy was not meant for cows and pigs and chickens, but I did that growing up. And so I understand something about a farmer. It's a different lifestyle. Number one, anyone who really farms is hardworking. It is not easy. Even with all today's modern technology, it is a very intense life. It's ongoing. It's every day. There's no days off. It is a big deal because your livelihood depends on your harvest. Everything depends on a season of harvest, but then that means you've got to do all seasons well. Because if you, as the farmer who is responsible for the harvest, don't do all seasons well, when it comes to harvest time, your family is not going to be able to live and make it through winter. So this is a huge deal. And so today, you and I go to the grocery store. And we're appreciative of that. Are y'all appreciative of that? Even my wife says, I choose to believe meat comes from the grocery store. Well, it doesn't. But that's what she chooses to believe. But the truth of the matter is, there is a lot of hard work in farming. So he says, the hardworking farmer. Now, if we're talking about faith, the hard work is not in believing. Because the Bible teaches us that faith is a rest and faith is receiving. So where is the hard work when it comes to receiving the promises of God that are yes and amen? Where does the hard work go into? Where is their hard work? Because he said it's a hardworking farmer. In other words, he's saying a person who casually does things in the arena of faith doesn't receive. He said, I want you to be a hardworking farmer. Well, the hard work is not on believing. The hard work is not on God's end. How many know? With God, all the promises on his side, it's all done. And so the hard work is not straining. The hard work is not trying to talk him into it. But there is hard work, and it has to do with your soil. The hard work, and it does have to do with you being a planter. Back in the old days, the truth of the matter is, the farmer, one of the things that he liked to do for himself was make sure the seed was sown properly. He would get help during harvest season, but when it came to sowing seed, he made sure he did it himself. He made sure the ground was ready, because the sowing of the seed, even though everybody thinks harvest season is the biggest time, and it is the most fun, there is no harvest without correct planting and a correct tilling of the soil and a watching over the soil. So I want to remind you of some of those things today. So let's look at, and we're not going to spend a lot of time on this, because around here we've spent a lot of time on Mark chapter 4. I have over the years, and it wasn't even very long ago, we went through all four kinds of soil. But I want to remind you, and so turn with me to Mark chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 14 through 20. The sower, who? The sower. Everybody say, I'm a sower. Now, one of the things I want you to think on as we look over the next couple times that I do this, whenever I do this, is I want you to talk. So first of all, you're the sower. You're the sower of your soil. Now, one of the things I want to get to, I want to tell you first, and this is what I firmly believe. What the Lord is trying to say is the hardworking farmer first does what? Partakes. So you're the first partaker of what you sow and your harvest. I've heard people say this, and don't misunderstand me, I'll clean it up a little bit. People say, well, I can believe for everybody else, but I can't seem to believe for myself. And you know what? I just don't buy that. I just don't buy that you can have faith for everybody else and not yourself. What you're telling me is I believe God's word, and I can pray for somebody else, and I know it's working, but I've never proven it for myself. I just don't think it works that way. I think in order really to be an effective farmer and help everybody else, you gotta first learn how to get it for yourself. Am I saying there's never occasion when you can pray and believe? No, because I've watched people who aren't filled with the Holy Ghost lay hands on people and them get filled with the Holy Ghost. All that tells me is the person laying hands don't know how to yield for themselves yet. The truth of the matter is, though, in order to be a really good farmer, you want to be he wants you to be a really good soldier. He wants you to be a really good athlete. And he wants you to be a really good farmer. And in order to be a really good farmer, when you learn how to do this for yourself, you can really start helping everybody else. And so a good farmer does what? He takes care of his family, but then he's got so much left over to sell, to give, to do. And that's where we're headed with this, is I don't want you just to get good at for you and your four and no more. I want you to learn how to believe for you so you can really begin to use your faith for everybody around you, for a neighbor, for a friend, for a family member, for anyone you would come in contact no matter where you're at. I want us to get to be really good farmers. And a good farmer not only first produces for themselves, but they can help everybody else. So what do we got to do? First, we got to realize that we're sowing and we're the sower. Everybody say, I'm the sower. And what are you going to do? A sower sows the word, verse 15. And these are they which on the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. So this is the first kind of soil. We call that wayside soil. And these are they likewise which sown on stony ground. So this is stony soil. Who when they heard the word immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves. And they endure for a time. And afterwards when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which sown among thorns. And so hear the word, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things enter in, choke the word, and becomes unfruitful. Verse 20, and these are they which are sown on good ground. We got any good ground in the room? And they heard the word, and they receive it, and they bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. So, basically, the first thing I want you to see is your soil is your farm. This is where faith comes from. Faith is of the heart. If you believe in your heart, Romans 10, 9 and 10, you confess with your mouth, but you believe with your heart. This is your soil. There is nobody on planet Earth that has charge of your farm but you. I'm not in charge of your farm. You're not in charge of my farm. In other words, I can't produce in your life. Only the word of God that you sow into your heart is what's going to produce. I am an overall sower. I do it on Sundays. I do it on Sunday nights. I do it other times when you're not here. I'm sowing the word. I'm a preacher. I'm a teacher. I sow the word. But that's not the only way, and it shouldn't really, listen to me, should not be the primary way seed goes into your soil, you farmer, you. That's like depending on another farmer who's anointed to come sow into your field, and that's all you do. If that's the only seed you ever get, then you're not sowing enough, and you're not going to produce on a regular basis. Everybody say, I'm a sower. And where's your primary ground? Well, it's your farm. And so what do you care the most about? Well, you should care because out of the abundance of your farm, out of the abundance of your heart is where things are produced. So you're the sower. Proverbs chapter 4, we mentioned it, so let's look at that. Proverbs chapter 4, let's look there. Proverbs chapter 4, I want to get there. Don't let this be too simple because it's stuff we've talked about quite a bit. But I want you to see this, Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 24. My son, attend to my words, incline your ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. Put away from you a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from you. So this is the truth, that it's your heart and your farm, and out of the issues of your heart flow your life. So if you want to change the issues or the things that are flowing in your life, then you first have to change your heart. There are four kinds of soil. And so how many of you know it's up to us, and there's teaching, probably sermons of mine. You can go online and get them. There's other people that have done this. But you have to understand that it's up to you to make sure that you have good soil. You're the farmer. You're the farmer of your life. You're the hardworking farmer. Where is the hard work? The hard work is keeping this, your ground, your heart, ready to receive seed, making sure that things don't get into it. Amen. And so, therefore, you have control. Let's look at Mark chapter 4, verses 26. Mark chapter 4, 26. You and you alone have control of your heart. Aren't you glad about that? Now listen to me, aren't you glad about that? That see, it's not up to somebody else. Your life is not, no matter even what life has dealt you, no matter what kind of bad relationship or what family you grew up in, if you can ever grab a hold of your heart and let the Lord work in your heart, if you can till up your fallow ground, if you can get your heart ready, no matter who you are, no matter where you're born, no matter what language you speak, no matter what ethnic background you have, you, with God's help, can change your life. Doesn't matter about anybody else. Doesn't matter about what country you're from. Doesn't matter about where you live. Doesn't matter who's president and who's not president. Doesn't matter. All of that stuff, if that's what you think, everything depends on everything being just right around you, you'll never do this. But when you realize it's up to my heart, up to my farm, and I've got control of that, and the seed of the Word of God never fails, it never returns void, then you can change your life. It'll excite you. It'll help you. Mark chapter 4, verse 26. So is the kingdom of God, as a man should cast seed in the ground. A man does that. Who's the man? You're the man. And should sleep and rise night and day. And the seed should spring up and grow. He doesn't know how. For the earth brings forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, then after that the full corn on the ear. And when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he puts a sickle, because the harvest has come. What am I telling you? You have control from, because it's your heart, because it's your soil. It's up to you and I. So let's talk about being a good farmer. Like I said, my uncles were good farmers. Where I grew up in Illinois, it was corn and soybeans down here. It's a lot of cotton, but I grew up in the cornfields of Illinois. It was always frustrating this knee-high by July. So I got corn all around me. It's fun to go get lost in and play in. But that's what I grew up seeing. That's what I grew up. That's what I understand. I understand one kernel of corn can produce 3 years of corn with hundreds of kernels on each one. I believe, people said, do you believe in a hundredfold return? I believe in a thousandfold return. I believe there's no limit with God. And God's seed never returns void. If you're having trouble with producing things, it's not on the seed's end. This word is incorruptible, indestructible. It will always produce what it was sent to produce. It is not on God's end. I know people love to blame God. I know people like to look to heaven and shake their fists. But the truth of the matter is, God has never failed. Because if he ever has failed, if he's ever going to begin to fail, you better grab a hold of something. Because the Bible said even this world is held together with the word of God. And so I'm telling you, if he ever starts failing, grab a hold, because we're flying out into outer space. We're going to pass Venus. We're going to pass that planet that's no longer a planet, Pluto. We're going to go right by it. Hallelujah. Spinning off. Hallelujah. Because the word never fails. And its seed and the DNA on the inside of that seed will produce what it was planted to produce. But how do you get to be a good farmer? Well, number one, you've got to have confidence in your seed. Number two, you've got to know that you've got to keep stuff out of your heart. In Mark chapter 4, this is what you got to do. Spiritually speaking, as a farmer, you got to be able to handle persecution. You got to be able to handle when someone comes and says, you know what, you've gotten too churchy. Or you turn on something and they begin to attack what we believe. You got to know what you believe, and you got to be able to handle the persecution. You got to be able to handle someone calling you narrow. Y'all just narrow. I'm so narrow. I believe there's only one way to heaven. I believe there's only one person that can get you there. That's narrow. Jesus was narrow. Some of you may not like that, but that's the truth. He is the way. There is no other way. He is the truth. There is no other truth. This is the truth. Everything in the Word of God, it's the truth. It was correctly recorded, and you look and see the truth of the Word of God. He's the way, the truth, and He's the life. Amen. I mean, so when persecution comes, can you handle it? Are you going to let it drive you away? That persecution comes to mess with your soil. Other things that mess with your soil, you got to make sure that the cares of this world don't come in and choke out the Word of God. In other words, the cares of this world come in, and that's like weeds get into your garden. The one thing about weeds is they seem to grow everywhere. Now, here in North Alabama, if you've got a lawn at all, you know you've got to do something with the weeds. The grass won't grow, but the weeds seem to grow. There's something about those weeds. And you got to make sure you take care of the weeds, because if you don't take care of the weeds, it chokes out the fruit. It chokes out what you want. The other thing you got to do, and listen to me, you got to make sure the deceitfulness of riches doesn't get in your heart. Well, Pastor Mark, y'all talk a lot about money around here. We talk about the money like the Word of God. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. It didn't say money was evil. It said the love of it's evil. It talks to you about a covetous heart. Amen. So we got to make sure. Jesus said you can't serve money and God. Listen, money is a tool, but it's an awful God. In other words, if you're serving money, then you'll make decisions by money. You'll decide where you live based on how much they're going to pay you, instead of where God led you. If you're money minded, the first thing you do before you make a decision is check on money. That's not how you make a decision. I'm off my subject right now, but I'm going to help somebody. Listen to me. You make decisions based on the Word of God and the leading of the Holy Ghost. Money is not even really a question. It's just, what does God say about this situation? Well, I took the job because they offered me double. Well, let's see how that works if it's out of the will of God. You got twice as much money with holes in your pockets. I'm just telling you. Now, sometimes that's the leading of the Lord. That's the blessing of God. But you have to know that. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wills, we'll do this or that. James. That's not a dying scripture. That's a prosperity scripture that tells you where you ought to be in life. What is your life, even a vapor? Yeah, people use that all the time. That's not a dying scripture. That's not a funeral scripture. That's a living scripture. The living scripture is, you ought to pray and ask God where I'm supposed to be. The deceitfulness of riches get in and chokes the Word of God out. Y'all with me? But the other things a good farmer has to understand, we got to make sure that the lusts of other things don't get in. We got to make sure that there's no bitterness in our heart. How many know the Bible talks about roots of bitterness? One of the greatest things, if you're going to keep your heart clear, because Jesus said this in Mark 11, 25 and 26, right after those 23 and 24 that we all love, 25 and 26, if anyone has any ought, I mean, if you got something wrong in your heart, Jesus said, you better go get it cleaned out. Because if you've got something in your heart, what does it do? It's a root of bitterness that will choke out the Word of God, and not only choke out the Word of God, it'll begin to defile other people's field, because that's what's in your heart. Listen, and today it doesn't just come out of people's mouths, it comes out of their fingers. What do I mean? In a text message. On a post. So it's not just out of your mouth, it could come out of your fingers. And it's still bitterness, and it still defiles. That word defile means rape. The truth of the matter is, you've got stuff in your heart as a good farmer. What do you got to do? Now, you remember back in the day when things were just getting started, they had to go through and pull all kinds of stumps out. They had to get rid of big rocks and stuff to make it so it could be planted. But the truth of the matter is, even as you walk with God, what's the devil always trying to do to your field? What's he trying to do to you, farmer? He's trying to get stuff in your heart so it'll choke out the Word of God. So sometimes it's not just, because see, if you don't have a good soil, it doesn't matter how much seed you throw at it. You can throw seed upon, but if you're throwing seed upon hard ground, if you're throwing seed upon a root of bitterness, if you're throwing seed at stuff and you got in there, no wonder it's not working. And that's not smart, good farmer. You with me? What do I got to do? I got to keep my soil. I got to tend to it, because out of it flow the issues of my life. How many of you know one of the most frustrating things for a farmer would be is to buy all this good seed, pay all this good money, and throw it out and it not produce anything. But the whole time knowing, I threw it on a stump, I threw it on a rock, and I didn't take care of it ever. And why didn't work? How many of you know a good farmer wouldn't do that? He knows it's got to have good ground. Amen? So everybody say, my soil is good ground. Come on, are you good ground? Then you will do, the Holy Ghost will help you make sure, keep your soil good all the time. Amen? And so how do we do that? Well, Jesus said this in Mark chapter 4, verse 24. How do we do that? Remember, I've always taught you this. There are gates to your heart. What are the gates to your soil? Anybody remember? Well, how you got three gates. What are they? You got an eye gate, you got an ear gate, and you got a mouth gate. And so Jesus said this, it's for your ear gate. He said in Mark chapter 4, he said, be careful what you hear. Because what you hear goes into your soil. How many of you know there are things that are going on in this world that, you know, when you hear things, you're not just hearing them with your physical ears. They can get into your heart and choke things. Be careful, Jesus said in Luke chapter 8, verse 18, he said, be careful how you hear. And so even with the word, how many of you know if you're hearing the word with, I heard that before, I know that. How many of you know that's not, how many of you know every year the farmer in Illinois or Alabama plants the same kind of seed? Why? They want the same kind of harvest, just more of it. And so one of the things you've got to understand is what you hear and how you hear are very important. Now, you know this, after you plant the seed, what do you got to do, farmer? You got to make sure it gets water. How many of you know, there's just these different seasons. You got to till up the soil. Then you got to plant the seeds in straight rows, making sure that you're not looking behind. You want to plant them in the soil in the straight row. Because if you plant straight rows, remember Jesus said that? He said, no man is looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. That sounds kind of mean, doesn't it? You can't look back. It's fit. In other words, when you look back, you're going to plow crooked rows. And when it comes to taking care of your rows, you're not going to be able to. Because they're going to be all over the place. So when you plant, you can't plant looking back. How many know the kingdom of God is now? I mean, no, faith is now. Faith is right now. And so I got to be in the now. And so when I plant, when I sow, then I want to make sure I'm in the now. And then the thing I got to do is, after I plant, then I got to make sure I water. How do I water? Well, the Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 3:6. It says Apollos watered. Ephesians chapter 4:26 says watered by the word of God. So what do I got to do? So after I plant, a good farmer makes sure there's plenty of water. How do you water? Well, sometimes you have an irrigation system. Sometimes it's natural rain. But other places, there's an irrigation system. And I think God will give you natural rain. But you know what? I just want to make sure I got an irrigation system working all the time. And so on purpose, I'm going to speak the word. I'm going to water what I planted. How do I water what I planted? Well, if I'm believing for healing and I believe in 1 Peter 2:24 and Matthew 8:17 and Galatians 3:13 and 14, and I've looked in Isaiah and I've already believed those, then I'm going to continue to water what I planted. And I'm going to keep believing by the stripes of Jesus, I have been healed. I'm going to keep believing he took my infirmities. He bare my sickness and disease. And with his stripes, I am healed. I'm going to keep believing that Jesus became a curse for me, that the blessings of Abraham would come upon me. And those blessings are found in Deuteronomy 28. And I'm going to rehearse those. I'm going to rehearse those. I'm going to rehearse them, and I'm going to rehearse them, and I'm going to think on them, and I'm going to do what God said to Joshua. I'm going to meditate on them, and I'm going to speak them, and I'm going to act on them, and I'm going to do them. What am I doing? I'm watering. I'm watering. I'm watering. You know, I like the seed that comes up overnight, but with most things with God, it's a process. There's a getting the heart ready. There's a planting, there's a sowing time, there's a watering time, and then there's a harvest time. A good farmer knows his seasons. A good farmer knows his seasons. That's why I said, even in wintertime, I know my uncles, they would be getting their equipment ready. Even everybody think that's the time to do nothing. No, that's the time to get your equipment ready, because guess what? Spring's coming. And you can't miss the season. You can't miss any season, because if you miss one season, you've missed the year. Listen to me, spiritually, you're always active keeping your heart right. You're always sowing seed. You're always watering, and you should be always harvesting. Those of you who've been doing this a long time, sometimes, you know, we know the process, but it still works the same way. Every year, you've got to go pick the cotton. It ain't picking itself. And when it comes to harvest of your spiritual things, you've still got to speak the word. You still got to talk the answer. Amen. So, how many of you know, if I wanted corn, I wouldn't plant wheat. If I want oranges, I wouldn't plant apples. So if you need a heart, we talk about this. I haven't talked about this a lot, but seriously, what is going on in your life that you need a harvest on? The word of God is full of seeds concerning that. If you're having marriage problems, word of God full of answers. Get a bag of seed, put them together, start sowing them. If it's financial, if it's about your future, I don't know what I'm supposed to do in life. I don't know what I'm supposed to do in life. Instead of saying, I don't know what I'm supposed to do in life, get some seed. Yeah. The steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. God has prearranged for me a path. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus is the beginning and the end. He who began a good work in me will complete it. Instead of saying, I don't know, because what kind of seed are you sowing? You're sowing for I don't know. And if you don't know, if you sow seed for I don't know, what are you going to reap? You still be confused. You want to get rid of your confusion about your future? Get a bag of seed. Sow it in your heart. Water it. And then you'll start walking it out. And suddenly, even if God doesn't speak to you audibly or tell you do this, do that, you'll be finding yourself in a year or so. You'll be like, oh, I kind of know what to do. I don't know how I know what to do. I just know what to do. This is right. This is wrong. This is the right job to take. That's the wrong job to take. Amen. Glory to God. All right. So, if we're going to be a good farmer, do I got any good farmers in the room? Got any good farmers in the room? So you got to fill up. You got to plant what you need. And you got to understand that, like in a soldier sense, your tongue is your sword, but for a farmer, your tongue becomes a sickle. And so you got to learn how to harvest. Well, the truth of the matter is, I didn't get nearly where I wanted to get today. But I did want to introduce to you about being a farmer and what it means. And even though we've talked about this quite a bit, I want you to understand some things. In order for your faith, because Paul said what? He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Everything I've been talking to you about today is how your faith works. The Bible says this in Hebrews 11:6. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So you could say it like this. If I want to please God, I've got to take on the attitude of a good farmer. I've got to be a good sower. I've got to be a good waterer. I've got to be a good harvester. Because He wants me to produce fruit. John 15:7 says this, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you shall ask what you will and it shall be done. All of John 15 is farming scriptures. It talks about pruning. Woo, hallelujah. It talks about you receiving. It talks about you producing fruit in your life. It is the will of God for you to have an abundant life. You know, if you want to get to where God wants you, then you have to be a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer all at the same time. That's why we had Dr. Madkins dressed up, all three individually. But I want you to see, it's not like a personality test where you get to decide, well, I'm more of a soldier. No, I'm kind of more of an athlete. No, you got to be all three equal parts, which doesn't make sense to your mind, but you gotta know how to fight, how to run, and how to farm all at the same time. Come on, we can all walk and chew gum at the same time, right? I'll do one you know. We can all text and walk at the same time. Okay, that's not a good example, because I've seen people mess that up. I know you can't text and drive at the same time. How do we get there? How do we produce all this fruit? It starts way back at the beginning, Romans 10:9-10. If you'll believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you'll be born again. Listen, I don't know where you're at in your walk with God. I hope I'm inspiring you to be all three, a soldier, an athlete, and today a farmer. But I want to make sure that you're on your journey. Listen, God is doing something very special in this season. He is getting people in a place where they can walk in His goodness and walk in His mercy. I said, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no way to get to the Father but by Him. But can I tell you something? He is a very good God. He has provided for you a way to come to Him that's not based on your works. It's not based on your religion. In other words, you can't say, you know what, Pastor Mark, you sound really good today. I'm going to go home and get all cleaned up, and I'm going to serve God. It's not about you doing anything except for saying, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and I receive Him into my heart.
We hope you were inspired by today's message. If you want to hear more from the Word of God, head over to cwol.org, check us out on YouTube or any social platform under @CWallMadison. We believe God is working within you, and we want you to know Him so you too can make Him known.